You're listening to a message from Every Nation Canberra. In this message, Nathan Ricabo uses the book of Colossians, starting with chapter 3, verse 22, until chapter 4, verse 6, to talk about what it looks like to go to work for God.
Well, good morning, everyone, and thank you for being here this morning. Today, as Pastor Joe has mentioned, we are continuing with part 2 of our series, Manic Monday. So I would please ask you to turn your Bibles to the book of Colossians, and we're starting from chapter 3, verse 22. And for those of you who are using your Bible apps on your phones, we will be reading into the following chapter as well, so just keep that in mind as you read on. Now, for those of you who have heard me preach before or see me expound in teaching, know that I like to give a bit of context for our readings. And it helps to set the scene, it helps us to give us a bit of time as well to find the page in your book or get onto the app. So, about Colossians. Well, Colossians is a fairly short letter compared to some of other Paul's writings, with Paul writing it to the church in Colossae to remind them to keep the main thing in our Christian walk. And what is our main thing? It is our devotion to God. It's our devotion to our Lord Jesus Christ. So he begins his teachings discussing the identity of Jesus Christ. He's the firstborn of all creation, meaning the one who inherits the creation, not that he was the first to be created. He is the head of the church. He is our Savior. He is our God. All things were created through him and for him. And if he is our God and the creator of all things, then we have to seek a life that is pleasing to him. This includes putting away sinful and fleshly desires in our hearts. It means showing the fruits of the Spirit in our lives, and it means to interact with the people around us in a way that God deems right. This means wives submitting to their husbands, husbands loving their wives, children obeying their parents, and parents not provoking their children. There's also very clear instruction on how to live a godly life in our workplace. And this brings us to our reading in Colossians 3, verse 22. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. This is the word of the Lord. It seems that most people today don't really see the connection between Sunday, or in our case, Saturday worship, and that Monday to Friday grind, especially when what is being preached at the pulpit centers around Christ rather than centering around what Christ and the Bible can do for us, right? But as Aaron mentioned last week and as Pastor Joe introduced, working is actually a part of God's plan for us. He did not make us to live a lazy life, but he created us with a drive for purpose and for responsibility to be good stewards of God's creation. And what more, Paul actually provides a very strong link between worship and work. Here in the letter of Colossians is what we'll get into very shortly. But if then God has planned for us to do work, and there is indeed a relationship between, you know, what we do here today and what we do for the rest of the week, then we should be very diligent in learning how we can live our life at work in a godly way. I would like to share today 3 key points to remind us of the importance that God holds in our day-to-day lives, particularly around work. And for those who are not working full-time, who are students or retired, who may be between jobs, don't switch off or don't think that this doesn't apply to you. The Bible has a lot to say about those who live idle lives or do not consider the weight of the responsibility that we all have in our community one way or another. Now, the first point I want to point out is that we have to remember to have an attitude of service. God calls us to have this sort of attitude in the workplace. As mentioned, Paul creates a link between worship and work and being good workers in a way that God deems to be good. Because you see, as Paul reminds us that if we have indeed been saved and that we are now raised with Christ, then we should seek the things above and to put on our new selves. This new self means a new mind, a new soul, a new heart that loves God and loves righteousness. In verse 16, a few sentences before our reading, Paul tells us to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And is that not exactly what we do here at church? In fact, I think the songs that we sang today, the message of communion, the exhortation that we gave, all really link very well with this idea. We were singing about how great God is and how we should glorify his name. Our message of communion today was about the fact that it's not about us, it's about God. And the exhortation message about giving to God, our first fruits. We sing these songs, we give these messages, we open our heart to God in thanks. And so what does this do? Well, it reminds us of God's love. It reminds us of God's peace, of how he has healed us, of how he sustains us, how he has given us the free gift of eternal life, should we have faith in him. And what should we therefore do? Well, it should re-energize us and affect how we interact with people and carry out our tasks. I love the way that Brother Gans sort of has the energy as he worships, and it affects me as well whenever I hear him and just praising God and worshiping. And that should be how it affects all of us when we're here at church, right? And then verse 18 to 21 shows us that by spending this time in genuine worship and in meditating on the word, we will act towards our family in a godly way, such as our wives, our husbands, our children, our parents. And in our reading directly after, we can see that with this new self, with this new heart that is constantly encouraged by consistent worship and teaching, it can help us to be godly in the workplace as well. Now, let's reading from verse 22 to 24 again. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by the way of eye service, as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. The Bible tells us not to have an attitude of ungratefulness or resentment, especially towards those who are our employers or our employees. Instead, we should serve our co-workers. We should do so with a hearty attitude, as if what you are doing is in direct service to God himself. Most of us would work in a place where Christians are the minority, right? If there are any Christians in your area at all. Many workplaces even discourage or prohibit talking about your faith or other religions. But one way or another, very often your colleagues will find out about your faith. And when that happens, you become something of an ambassador for Christ in your area. You represent him in your workplace. So if you are to show yourself as anything other than a good worker, then you risk people misunderstanding or doubting the true change that God has done in your heart. I know that Aaron, for example, he's not here today, so I can talk about him. He has shared his faith and his involvement at church. It's going to be good things. Don't worry if you're listening to this later, buddy. But yeah, he has shared his faith and his involvement in church with his workmates in the past. And I remember him mentioning that it caused people to think twice about the language they used around him and to be a bit more considerate about his church commitments when they consider things like having to work overtime on the weekends. We also work very closely to each other, proximity-wise, and so we're often walking together on lunch breaks. And very often we run into someone that Aaron knows, and you can see that there's a genuine friendliness and a liking for him. He has a very positive and diligent attitude at work, and he has made it known to his colleagues about his faith. And because of that, he has become something of a salt and light at his workplace. Our attitudes are important because they show people the results of our faith. If we serve a God of love and peace and forgiveness, but we don't show those same traits to the people at our work or the people around us in general, what will they think about our belief? What will they think about our God? having an attitude in the workplace that reflects the servant of the Lord who saves is what we should have. And this brings us to point two. All work is God's work. Paul makes it clear that at its core, all that we do should be viewed as a means of worship. This includes the way that we work, because after all, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. So we do our work and all the other activities that we do with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. God has placed you where you are, whether that is in your workplace, at your school, in your community, to serve others in a way that reflects this sort of servitude to the Lord. Often our mindset when we go to work or when we choose a job is very much centered around how this job will make us more money or lead us to a big promotion or that particular career or job role that we actually want. Often as well, when we pray to get a certain job, we do so because of various kinds of benefits. It's not always done selfishly, after all. We want to provide for our families, we want to give them food on the plate, a roof over their heads, and things to enjoy, right? But God may also provide us with a desire to have a certain job which aligns with our passions and talents that he has given us. But I don't know how many people will pray to God that God gives them a job that will best serve him. And I think many people don't do that because they're afraid that what will best serve him will not best serve you. But God's will be done every time. As it says in Proverbs 16:9, the heart of man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his steps. If we are God's servants, then we have to be willing to submit to his plans, which includes where he will place us at our work. And although we may not see why he opens certain doors for us, why he may give us certain teams with people that we may not like, when we prefer a different team or a different job role or a different company altogether, we have to trust that it will be for his glory. And this brings us to our final point. Your work counts for eternity. Now, I don't mean that the occupation that you do today or the purpose of it will have a purpose in heaven. As a data analyst myself, I highly doubt that God is going to need me to produce spreadsheets or reports for him in his heavenly kingdom about his heavenly people. But what we have to understand is that we need to have an attitude at work that glorifies Christ. And we have to remember that our true servitude in all that we do is for him. Then we have to remember that our true purpose, what our true purpose is for being in this world, it is to point those around us to the cross. When people reflect the sort of worker or colleague that you are, and they know that about your faith, then it should make them think about how different you are in the best of ways. And it might even make them consider if your Christianity, your faith, is the reason why you're so different in these positive ways. And then when you remember that God has put you in these places for his plans, then you should be ready to be the living testimony in your workplace and in your community. Because God is not going to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant, for being a hardworking or positive employee." He's not going to say it to those who have even chosen a selfless or a charitable sort of occupation or something that they believe will make the world a better place. He's not going to be saying it to those people. He will be saying it to those who remember that they're there to serve God before they serve their masters, their supervisors, their companies. And he will say that to those who remember that we are to be the salt and the light in the world, the ones who keep his commandments, the ones who point people to the direction of God. He will say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," to those who obey his call to preach the gospel, to be the salt and the light around us, and to tell others about Jesus when the opportunity arrives. So remember that in all things, including in work, have an attitude that shows godliness. Have a mindset that focuses on Christ and be a faithful servant of the eternal God because he is your true master. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for the people here today. Thank you for the jobs that you give us. Thank you for the opportunities that we have to be good servants of you. Lord, sometimes we do forget how our time here at church may relate to our time outside of these walls. But today, O God, I pray that no one here forgets the purpose of our gathering. We are here to worship and to honor you, to remember our salvation in you, to renew our hearts, to renew our minds, so that we are filled with your love, and that we may share that love to all who are with us and around us as we move on with the rest of our week. Thank you, God, for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, everybody. It was a short message, but I hope you were able to really think about that one for the rest of your week.
You just heard a message from Every Nation Canberra. For more podcasts and for more information on Every Nation Canberra, please visit everynationcanberra.org. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/everynationcanberra and on Instagram at instagram.com/encanberra. We meet every Saturday at 104 The Valley Avenue, Gungahlin. Would you like to be connected to a tag group? Email us at everynationcanberra@gmail.com.